Thank you. We again come to you with studies in the book of Romans. We are in chapter 12, dealing with our relationship to the church, the body of Christ. We have been dealing in our past lessons with our relationship to the Savior, especially with respect to our standing in Him, which we had in the preceding chapters. And now we come to the question, having dedicated our lives to the Lord in verses 1 and 2, what shall I do in my position in the body of Christ? And we found from verses 3 to 5 of chapter 12 that each member, each believer, is a member of the body of Christ. No one has any more importance than another one, and we are to minister according to the measure of faith, not according to our knowledge or experience, but according to the measure of faith which God has given to us. And all believers have a particular place to function in the body of Christ. And we can't get along without each other. Just like in our physical bodies, we can't get along with our members. They all have a place. Likewise, each believer is in the church, the body of Christ, for two things. For the edification or the building up of other Christians, and for the increase of the body. That is to bring people into the saving grace of the Savior, and thus increase the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ, there is no room for politics, for rivalry, for competition, where we work us together with Him. I wish in some way I could make it so simple, so clear, so that every one of you, especially the great majority of you who feel, well, I'm a Christian, but what do I do for the Lord? I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary. And you begin to alibi on all these things, and that may be true. But nevertheless, if you are a believer in Christ, you have a special place in the church of Christ, and no one can take your place. What I'm trying to get to your heart is how important you are, Christian friend, to the purpose of God on earth. You have a position and a place of responsibility, and God wants you to function, to do your job in the church of Christ, whatever it may be. You say, well, I don't know what it is. I tell you again in the first two verses, when you and I obey the beseechings of grace and give our bodies as a present to Him, a living sacrifice, where we yield ourselves and all that we are to Him, then we know the will of God, that perfect, precious will of God. And having found that, we find our place of service. It may be teaching a Sunday school class. It may be just praying with intercessions for the people of God. In fact, I would say again, one of the most needed ministries today is the ministry of intercession. Oh, for God's people to take some time to wait upon God and intercede in behalf of the gospel of Christ. When we think of our missionaries, we think of His servants all over the world. Sometimes they feel forgotten, and nobody prayed. Oh, it'd be terrible if a man or a woman were to go to a mission field and have nobody behind them in prayer. Take up someone upon your heart. Pray for them. Your pastor, instead of criticizing some of these folk, you go ahead and pray for them. Take your place in the body of Christ. Now, starting in verses 6 to 8, we have this ministry. And all our service really is measured by how much of a heart you have for Christ. Now, listen and see what it says. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now you notice these are special gifts in the body of Christ. And each one differs according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The question is to find our place and then serve. You'll notice there are seven gifts here mentioned by Paul in Romans 12. These are outfittings by the Spirit of God. He outfits a believer to do a job, and you stick to your gift. Remember, we're serving the Lord Christ. We're serving the Lord Christ. Oftentimes, we'd like to have the gift the other man has. And sometimes we try to imitate somebody else, their gift. Listen, friend, let's be realistic about this. You can't imitate anybody else's gift. In fact, it's a foolish thing to imitate anybody except in the sense that they follow the Savior. But as to their gifts, you can't do what the other fellow does. One man has the gift of evangelism, another man has the gift of teaching, another man has the gift of hospitality, another one has one thing, and another one has something else, but we all have different gifts. Now notice these seven gifts. They're having then gifts, verse 6, differing according to the grace. Again I say, not differing according to our knowledge or our position, but according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, that is prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now the gift of prophecy is for edification and comfort. This is more in the sense of giving forth the word of life. And we give it according to the proportion of faith. Now prophecy doesn't necessarily mean prophesying future events. Like, for example, you go to your Old Testament and you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, Ezekiel, you name them. In your Old Testament, these were prophets of the Lord, and they prophesied the purpose and program of God, sometimes way off into the future. For example, Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy 28, that was fulfilled in 70 A.D., and so on. Now, the Word of God is completed, and in a certain sense, we do not have that gift of prophecy, of foretelling future events. The Word of God, I say, is completed. It's for you and me to obey the Word of God. But we can become prophets in the sense that we are representing God to people. Allow me to tell you again the difference between a prophet and a priest. A prophet is one who represents God to the people. A priest is one who represents the people to God. Now, every Christian is a priest. Now, we find that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9, where Peter says, we are a holy priesthood, we are a royal priesthood. That is, we can pray for each other, we can intercede in behalf of others, we can make requests from God in behalf of others, and so forth and so on. This is the work of a priest, representing others to God. Now, a prophet is one who speaks for God to others. For example, I am speaking to you today from the Word of God. In that sense, I am prophesying, and I have to do it according to the proportion of faith. Now, everyone doesn't have this gift, but those who have it are to be used of God to do it, to use the gift, to give forth, to communicate the Word of God. Now, the second one mentioned here is ministry. On ministering, let us wait on our ministry. This is pouring out our life for others. You have this, for example, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. We have it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Are the portions where we are ministering. There are some people, for example, there are certain men who are in the gospel ministry. They're not evangelists, they're not teachers, but they're good pastors. They minister to the needs of God's people. So if you have a gift of ministry, it may be, well, I'm not a preacher. You can be a lay person. As long as you're a member of the body of Christ, you can minister. You can minister to the preacher. You can minister to others. You can reveal to them things whereby they can be encouraged in the Lord. Everyone can have some ministry. And then, he that teacheth on teaching. God has given to certain men gifts of teaching, that is, to make the Word of God clear, like you have Ezra. Way back in the book of Ezra, Ezra was a man, the scribe, who stood up and he made the Word of God clear as he spoke to the people. Likewise, a teacher is one who ministers the Word of God, instructs God's people in the Word of God. Now, that's a gift. I know I have friends of mine who've got tremendous capacity for knowledge. But when it comes to imparting that knowledge, they have a very, very difficult time. Now, you can ask them a question, and they can answer you. They know it. But put them down before a group of people, and they just can't communicate it for some reason or other. They don't have the gift of teaching. And we have people, in practically every assembly has someone who has the gift of teaching. Now, you may not be able to qualify like some men, like Campbell Morgan or someone else who has a tremendous gift of teaching. Nevertheless, you impart the truth of God to others, whether it's in Sunday school, young people's meetings, wherever it is. If you've got a gift of teaching, use it. If God has given to you a gift, those gifts are given to be used, whether to prophesy or to minister or to teach. Now, the next one is, he that exhorteth on exhortation. Now, a man who exhorts God's people encourages them. He's the one who encourages God's people to be obedient to the Word of God, encourages them in their own lives. For example, I have a friend of mine. He's a well-known man. And I remember somebody saying to him one day, he said, what are you anyhow, teacher? And his answer was, with a smile, he said, no, I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm an exhorter. In other words, he had the gift of encouraging God's people to do something for God. He encouraged, he exhorted them unto the ministry which God had called them. He was an exhorter. Quite often a person may go down, and you say you're not a teacher of doctrine, but you can stand up and give a devotional sometime, and you exhort the people of God, encourage them to walk with God in the midst of a world that is lawless and sinful. That's the work of an exhorter. Now, don't try to be a teacher or an evangelist, a pastor. You stick to your job of exhortation. We need them. We need the teacher. We need the pastor. We need the evangelist. And we need the exhorter. And then notice this one mixed up with it. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Notice the gift of giving, of generosity, the gift of a wholeness of heart. The gift of giving. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, where Paul speaks of this question of giving, that there's a blessing. Blessed is the one that gives. And they give it with simplicity, not with a big show. You remember one day our Lord was standing by the treasury in the temple. And the Pharisees came along and they blew their trumpets and made a lot of big noise so everybody could see what they put in the treasury box. And along came a little widow, and she just slipped in her two mites and kept on going. Nobody saw it except the Lord. But the Lord was the one who spoke so wonderfully about the little widow and her joy of giving and her sacrifice. Never said a word about the old Pharisees and the amount of money they put in. When you give with simplicity. Now remember, this is a gift. And by the way, lest somebody say, well, Mr. Mitchell, you know, I don't have the gift of giving. Don't you try and rationalize your... But you know what I mean, don't you? Don't hold back. But if you do give, give it with simplicity. Give it with a heart that's wholehearted for God. Give it because you love Him. And remember, God will never be in your debt. So if you're going to give, give with simplicity. And then he that ruleth, with diligence. You remember in Acts chapter 20:28, where Paul says to the Ephesian elders, he said to the elders, take heed to yourselves and to the flock of God over the which he has made you the overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now these are the ones possibly on your board of deacons or elders or stewards, whatever you call them, your council, whatever it may be, These are the rulers of the local assembly, and they are to do it with diligence. Be diligent. And if I'm talking to some of you who are members of a board of your local church, when you serve, you do it with diligence. Do it with a heart before God. Remember, this is a God-given responsibility. Did you hear what I said? It's a God-given responsibility, and you rule with diligence, as if it were your own business. It's an amazing thing. I've seen men who are very diligent in their business in the world. When it comes to the Lord's business, they're sloppy. They're not very good. They're indifferent. No, you be just as diligent in the things of God and the work of the Lord and rulership as you are in your own business. It's God's business. And being God's business, it means that we should do it with diligence. Don't you miss your meetings and don't slack up on your responsibilities, but rule with diligence. Now remember, he's talking about the body of Christ. And then the last one in verse 8, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Cheerfulness. You know, there's a verse comes to my mind in Galatians 6:1. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now here is a ministry. It may be with the sick. It may be with the failing, stumbling believers. It may be with discouraged Christians. It may be with disheartened Christians. What they need is not a club. What they need is some mercy. God has been wonderful in his mercy to you and to me. Shall we not show the same thing to God's people? Well, Brother Mitchell, if you only know what they've done, I don't care what they've done. What they need is not a club. It's not a kick. What they need is some mercy. Oh, that God would put into your heart and my heart that spirit of mercy for God's people. You see, we've been discussing here seven gifts, outfitting of the church of God by the Spirit, seven tremendous gifts. To prophesy, that's for edification and comfort. Ministering, the pouring out of your life for others. Teaching, to teach the Word of God, to appeal to the mind. What God has declared. Exhortation is an appeal to the will. I mean, I remind you of this. A teacher feeds your mind as well as your heart. An exhorter persuades, appeals to the will to do something for God. And then you're giving. You give wholeheartedly because you love the Savior and his people. And then he that ruleth, you do it with diligence. Remember, you're representing God in the midst of his people. And you be there and you be diligent in your attendance and diligent in the thing that you do. And then to show mercy. Oh, how we need Christians who will have that spirit of mercy. To be cheerful. Not to go into a hospital rule as if your last day had come. The people are sick. They need to be cheered up. They need encouragement. You'll find some Christians who are downhearted because of the roughness of the path. They're having a hard time. Everything is going wrong. They're discouraged and down in the dumps. Now what they need, I say again, is not a club. They need someone who comes along who understands them, who cares for them, loves them, shows them mercy. And if you find a Christian that's been taken over or overtaken by some sin, please don't judge him. Don't knock him on the head. Don't go around and tell everybody about him. You manifest mercy and encourage them in the Lord. Put your arm around them and encourage them in the Savior. Remind them that the Lord is full of mercy and grace. Remind them they've got a throne of grace to which they can come, and there obtain all the mercy and all the grace and all that they need. Show mercy. Don't you think we need these seven blessed ministries today? These are the gifts. And he says over here, there's one body. Every Christian is a member of the body. Every Christian has a gift. You may not be a teacher. You may not be a prophet. You may not be a minister. You may not be able to exhort. You may not have much to give. You're not a member of the board. But you can show mercy. Oh, God, give us Christians who can show mercy to God's people in their need, in their troubles, in their frailty, in their sins. in their, what shall I say, in their sorrows? Don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing to come with that cheerful spirit manifesting mercy? That understanding spirit that can take dear people of God and all their frailty and love them so much that they just turn to the Savior in repentance if they need that, or to be encouraged to go on with the Lord. And you and I have a tremendous place in this. Why not do that today? Now you look and see what gift you have. The Lord bless you for His name's sake.